Make sure to check out the video version of this podcast at youtube.com/gameofmicrophones. See everything you're missing.
Princess Rhaenyra.
I'm Queen Rhaenyra now. And you all are traitors to the realm.
And now, from the crypts of Winterfell, it's your favorite podcast of thrones. Game of Microphones. With Lord Stirling, Sir Duncan the Fearsome. Winter is here.
Good morrow and welcome to Game of Microphones. We've just finished the House of the Dragon season finale. It's me, Lord Stirling, Sir Duncan the Fearsome, joined by special guest, Sir Matthew of House Rep. How's it going, Matt?
It's going good. It's going good, man. That finale, that was something else, man.
Blood was spilled. Wow. Wow. Craziness. This was a tense episode. Everything started off really calm and peaceful for the most part, until Rhaenys showed up. And when Rhaenys showed up, it was like... They didn't know about any of the stuff that had happened, so they were probably just assuming that Rhaenys was there with word of Corlys, which is what Rhaenyra seemed to suggest. She's like, oh, have you word of Corlys's arrival? And it's then that we learn that the king is dead.
And I mean, they were only just at King's Landing maybe 2 days ago
in
their time, so... I mean, we've had 2 weeks since that last supper, but for them, it's just been...
Yeah, like 2 days. And at the supper, Alicent had said, you know, you will make a great queen. So there was no reason for Rhaenyra to suspect that even if Viserys had died, that they would go ahead and crown Aegon, right? So she's completely blindsided by the news of that.
But apparently, Alicent had no idea either.
Yeah. That's true. It seemed like Alicent was ready to go on forward with Rhaenyra's succession with, you know, how she was complimenting her at dinner, saying she'd make a great queen. And then obviously we learned that Otto has been planning and secret plotting behind her back last episode at the start, which caught her completely off guard. It was like, it's kind of interesting parallels between the green and black queens. You know, they both were completely caught off guard at the beginning of the episode. Last episode, the green queen. This episode, the black queen. Oh man, what was your favorite part of this episode, do you think?
The best part and also the most heartbreaking would have had to been maybe not the most heartbreaking, being as though Rhaenyra lost her child right after hearing about her father.
So she lost so much this episode. She lost the her claim because it had been usurped from out from under her. She lost her. She had her miscarriage. She lost her father, and then losing her Lucerys at the end. Also, oh man, I was getting some Daenerys vibes at the end when she turns towards the camera and she's all mad. It reminded me of Daenerys sitting on top of her dragon as the bells tolled right before she decided to burn King's Landing.
There's a lot of similarities between Dany and Rhaenyra. I mean, I couldn't tell so much with the child in tonight's episode, but... in the book, Rhaenyra, her daughter Visenya, who did not live, Mushroom the Fool describes her of having all these dragon-like birth defects and being twisted and malformed. And the same as when Dany lost the stallion who would mount the world before throwing herself into her. that baby was supposed to be all malformed and demon-like itself.
Twisted, the bones, the skin sloughing off the bones. Hideous, scaly skin. I thought for a second that might be what was happening at the beginning with the miscarriage, and I still wasn't able really to tell if there were some deformities. There was a lot of blood on the poor baby. I thought from a couple angles there may have been some disfigurement, some weird dragon stuff going on, but then again, I'm not really sure, so I don't want to say one way or another. I don't want to have to be like pausing and looking at that.
I thought we saw a flash or a frame of something scaly in there. So
yeah, I might have seen. Yeah, might have seen something. It was interesting that Cyrax, when she was trying to give birth, and all of the handmaidens were begging to help her as she was writhing and in pain. Mm-hmm. And we kept getting flashes of Cyrax during that sequence. Isn't that right? It was like she's having a mind connection with her dragon, who was like, no, rah! Roaring in the background. And man, that's so brutal.
Even after that, both queens seem to like seek for peace, but then we have Otto and Daemon who are just screaming for war.
Yeah. Yeah, Daemon was just, you know, my mom was like, why is he talking so much? You know, like, what's up with that? Because obviously Rhaenyra is just made queen, and it's like, Daemon, you're like going out of bounds here. You're mm-hmm. taking too much power, making too many decisions. But at the same time, he you know, has battle experience, and he's probably been wargaming this inevitability in his head for a long time. What were you going to say?
I was going to say he immediately jumps to regicide. You know, he
right.
He thinks someone did him in, you know, which I mean, I don't know if I believe in all of that. And I think it was a natural death, but they sure didn't waste any time.
That's true. Yeah, it seemed like it was, you know, that Viserys went out peacefully and naturally, like you said. She tried to help him out with some milk of the poppy, and she seemed legitimately bereaved or, you know, upset the next morning.
But yeah, Alicent's not going to be too happy. Her eldest son is a complete mess, and now her middle child went and murdered the middle child of, you know, the true heir, I guess.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Pushing further towards war.
It's pretty bad. And the craziest part, too, that the boys who ended up starting the conflict at the end, it didn't seem like either of them wanted it, you know. Lucerys was screaming, you know, serve me, obey me, Aerys, and Aerys was just freaked out by the bigger dragon, you know, and came and flamed him. It's like Aemon thought he had enough control where he could play prey with a smaller dragon, and Vhagar is just like, doesn't think that way. When you signal prey for a dragon, it seems like the dragon thinks that that's prey, and he's trying to grab him and you know, all of that. And Aerys feels like he's being hunted. And
Vhagar's seen true combat. Aerys is just a baby, you know? Like,
true.
He's the one that we saw episode, what, 3 or 4? When the pink dread was brought out. Was that Luke getting his dragon?
Yeah, that was when Luke was training with Vermax.
Vermax, yeah.
And I think I'm broadcasting in too much detail. We're not getting enough data out to stream smoothly. So let me pause for a second here and fix to a different resolution. Give us one sec, guys. Okay, sorry about that. Where were we?
We were talking about the dragon fight.
The accidental dragon fight.
I mean, when you're that small of a dragon, obviously you're spooked by Vhagar, who's, what, 5 times the size?
Yeah, and, at least.
Aerys probably just, you know, tried its best to shoot some flame at him, distract him a little bit so he can get away. But Vhagar, once that insult was made, he wasn't going to let that stand.
Yeah, seriously.
And Vhagar seen real combat.
That's true. Probably. Vhagar is like the oldest living thing on Earth, potentially, at this point, with Beleriand out of the picture and the most experienced warfighter that there is. So, mm-hmm. you know, at the beginning, Daemon is going through all the dragons that they have on their side and listing the dragons that the Greens have. But he didn't mention Vhagar, did he? I was like the whole time sitting there like, dude, Vhagar, what about Vhagar? You're like leaving out that they have the biggest, most powerful dragon of all at their disposal, which could be a big problem, you know? So brutal.
That sapphire in Aemon's eye.
That was so cool. So I had heard some people talking about that. So I was a little bit, you know, I spoiled. It wasn't like a big deal, but I was spoiled on that detail. So when he pulled it off, I was like, oh yeah, the sapphire, that's baller. Like if you're going to go without an eye, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some kind of cool ass gemstone. That was awesome. I really liked that. And when you know that there was something bad was going to happen when Rhaenyra is having the little one-on-one moment with Lucerys, and she's like, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. Oros is honorable. Although it wasn't he who sworn the oath, it was his older brother or father or something. And so this is a new lord of Storm's End.
Is that the first time we've seen Storm's End?
We had seen an interior chamber during Rhaenyra's...
The parade of suitors.
Yeah. When she was sent around to, instead of having the suitors come to them, they send her off all over the Seven Kingdoms, which is kind of demeaning. Like she's a piece of meat being put on display. But we had the scene. That's where we got the Blackwood and Bracken confrontation, and the young Blackwood bro took out the older Bracken guy. Is that right? Yeah, I think I got those houses right there. Gutted him. And that fight within the halls of Storm's End kind of foreshadowed this fight that almost took place within Storm's End, you know, between a larger and smaller foe.
Yeah, Boros, he said he won't have bloodshed in his hall. I mean, I guess maybe you forgot. But the description of Storm's End was just always like so impressive. This towering castle on the very edge of a cliff face.
Nice.
I wonder how much rain they get for it to be called Storm's End, and it definitely.
It's got the thickest walls of any castle in the kingdom to combat those bashing waves of the shore. Yeah, it's like the Florida of of Westeros, I get right, because they got all the hurricanes down there. Similar location, isn't it? Is it not? Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, southeast.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Yeah, really crazy. And oh man, when Arrax lands and Lucerys hops off and he's walking through the courtyard and you see the soldiers in front of him, between him and the castle entry, and that's foreboding enough. But then the thunder, the lightning cracks, and you see the giant Vhagar in the background with his big old turkey gobble hanging down. You can tell him a mile away just from that, but also because he's big enough so that you could probably see him from from a mile away, literally.
I'm surprised they didn't see him once they were flying in. I guess the weather had something to do with that.
True. Dude, that was crazy.
Was that the first illiterate lord that we've seen?
Oh, you think that's what they were actually implying, that he couldn't read it? I wasn't sure if he was beneath me to read
it. He didn't even bother opening it, and then he had the maester read it and whisper it in his ear.
Oh, whispering in his ear. Yeah, I was more like focused on Lucerys and Aemond that sort of just flew right past me.
I could be projecting because he seemed like such a buffoon, but
he was a rather dickish, you know, especially compared to Boromund Baratheon, the previous lord when Rhaenyra was there, who seemed much friendlier towards Rhaenyra's, Rhaenyra and her cause and stuff at the time. One of the lords that did swear fealty when Viserys proclaimed her the heir. What do you think is going to happen with the Starks and the Tullys?
I don't know. We know we're predisposed to know the Starks as being like completely honorable and loyal, like their word is bond. Mm-hmm. But that could just be from, you know, their prejudice from Game of Thrones. You know, who knows if Cregan Stark is anything like his descendants, you know?
True. Yeah, there's got to be some variation between each generation, as we saw with Storm's End. Realizing now that for some reason the YouTube stream is on unlisted, so that's not very helpful. Oh man, I don't even know how to change that. Amateur streamer here, guys. FYI, I'll just restart it. And sorry about that, guys. Drop it down to 720 and hopefully we'll have a better quality stream. Apparently my internet doesn't want to go fast enough for us to broadcast in 1080. All right, and now we're back on Facebook. Okay, sorry about that. Where were we?
We were talking about the dragon fight.
Accidental dragon fight.
I mean, when you're that small of a dragon, obviously you're spooked by Vhagar, who's, what, five times the size?
Yeah, and, at least.
Arryx probably just, you know, tried its best to shoot some flame at him, distract him a little bit so he can get away, but Vhagar, once that insult was made, he wasn't going to let that stand.
Yeah, seriously.
And Vhagar seemed real combat.
That's true. Probably. Vhagar is like the oldest living thing on Earth, potentially, at this point, with Beleriand out of the picture and the most experienced warfighter that there is. So, mm-hmm. You know, at the beginning, Daemon is going through all the dragons that they have on their side and listing the dragons that the Greens have. But he didn't mention Vhagar, did he? I was like the whole time sitting there like, dude, Vhagar, what about Vhagar? You're like leaving out that they have the biggest, most powerful dragon of all at their disposal, which could be a big problem, you know? So brutal.
That sapphire in Aemon's eye.
That was so cool. So I had heard some people talking about that. So I was a little bit, you know, I spoiled. It wasn't like a big deal, but I was spoiled on that detail. So when he pulled it off, I was like, oh yeah, the sapphire, that's baller. Like if you're going to go without an eye, that's the way to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some kind of cool ass gemstone. That was awesome. I really liked that. And when you know that there was something bad was going to happen when Rhaenyra is having the little one-on-one moment with Lucerys, and she's like, don't worry, everything's going to be fine. Boros is honorable. Although it wasn't he who sworn the oath, it was his older brother or father or something. And so this is a new lord of Storm's End.
Is that the first time we've seen Storm's End?
We had seen an interior chamber during Rhaenyra's...
The parade of suitors.
Yeah. When she was sent around to, instead of having the suitors come to them, they sent her off all over the Seven Kingdoms, which is kind of demeaning. Like she's a piece of meat being put on display. But we had the scene. That's where we got the Blackwood and Bracken confrontation, and the young Blackwood bro took out the older Bracken guy. Is that right? Yeah, I think I got those houses right there. Gutted him. And that fight within the halls of Storm's End kind of foreshadowed this fight that almost took place within Storm's End, you know, between a larger and smaller foe.
Yeah, Boros, he said he won't have bloodshed in his hall. I mean, I guess maybe he forgot. But the description of Storm's End was just always like so impressive. This towering castle on the very edge of a cliff face.
Nice. But,
like, I wonder how much rain they get for it to be called Storm's End. And it definitely...
It's got the thickest walls of any castle in the kingdom to combat those bashing waves of the shore. Yeah, it's like the Florida of of Westeros, I get, right? Because they got all the hurricanes down there. Similar location, isn't it? Is it not? Yeah.
Yes, yeah, southeast.
Southeast. Yeah, that's pretty funny. Yeah, really crazy. And oh man, when Arrax lands and Lucerys hops off and he's walking through the courtyard and you see the soldiers in front of him, between him and the castle entry, and that's foreboding enough. But then the thunder, the lightning cracks, and you see the giant Vhagar in the background with his big old turkey gobble hanging down. Yeah. You can tell him a mile away just from that, but also because he's big enough so that you could probably see him from from a mile away, literally.
I'm surprised they didn't see him once they were flying in. I guess the weather had something to do with that.
True. Dude, that was crazy.
Was that the first illiterate lord that we've seen?
Oh, you think that's what they were actually implying, that he couldn't read it? I wasn't sure if he was
bother opening it. And then he had the maester read it and whisper it in his ear.
Whispering in his ear. Yeah, I was more like focused on Lucerys and Aemond that sort of just flew right past me.
I could be projecting because he seemed like such a buffoon, but
he was a rather dickish, you know, especially compared to Boromund Baratheon, the previous lord when Rhaenyra was there, who seemed much friendlier towards Rhaenyra's, you know, Rhaenyra and her cause and stuff at the time. One of the lords that did swear fealty when Viserys proclaimed her the heir. What do you think is going to happen with the Starks and the Tullys?
I don't know. We know we're predisposed to know the Starks as being like completely honorable and loyal, like their word is bond. Mm-hmm. But that could just be from, you know, their prejudice from Game of Thrones. You know, who knows if Cregan Stark is anything like his descendants, you know?
True. Yeah, there's got to be some variation between each generation, as we saw with Storm's End. Realizing now that for some reason the YouTube stream is on unlisted. So that's not very helpful. Oh, man. I don't even know how to change that. Amateur streamer here, guys. FYI. I'll just restart it on YouTube. Yeah. So who did they send off to Winterfell?
Jace was going to visit the Vale of Arryn and Rhaenyra's aunt, it would have been.
Who?
Emma Arryn. Yeah, aunt or uncle, whoever the lord of the Vale is right now. They have blood relation to Rhaenyra and to Jace. So he's going to the Vale of Arryn, and after he goes there, he's going to go on to Winterfell.
Craziness. And so he's going to do both, but the three dragon riders left Storm's End. So who was the third dragon rider?
Dragonstone.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
One to Storm's End, one to the Vale and Winterfell. Was the last one just... Rhaenys going to patrol whatever area that was?
It's possible.
To take care of.
Yeah, I was not sure who was going there. Because she Oh, yeah, that makes sense. She was going to be patrolling the Gullet. Is that what they called it?
The Gullet, yeah.
Pretty cool nickname for the bay there. Is that the area between Storm's End and Dragonstone that's the big bay that you have to go through to get to King's Landing? Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
Makes sense. Rhaenys, Corlys was not too stoked about this whole situation. He didn't want to pick a side, but Rhaenys laid the guilt trip on him. You know, she was like, just like, you abandoned me. And so you owe me one, you know, and I think that's what ended up turning the tide in favor of Rhaenyra there. Like,
they both seemed surprised when he said that they would have the armada of the Valyrians at their side.
Yeah, totally. Zach says he's ready, so I'm bringing Zach in here. Oh, here we go. Here's Zach.
What is up?
Hey, welcome. What did you think, bro?
Crazy. Man, that was like the beginning and her giving birth and, man, just the ending. It's kind of a little bit of everything. That was, I mean, it just overall, it just didn't, I mean, it felt like a finale at the end, but it was focused on just the blacks, basically, where last week was the greens. And I was thinking like the first half was going to be Rhaenyra founding out and what are they going to do? And then the end would be kind of everything. And we got Aemon and Vhagar, but it was really great. And I loved it, but it was, I was expecting more sometimes, but then like we got a ton. So I was kind of surprised by everything. I mean, knowing kind of, and I remembered loosely kind of what happened here in the books, but I kind of forgot the timing of it, if it was now or later in the war or whatever, but really good.
So go ahead. Sorry.
Point of no turning back right here.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So did this similar interaction occur between Aemon and Lucerys in the books here with Vhagar eating, ripping to shreds Lucerys and Arrax? Did that happen in the books?
It did. It doesn't seem so accidental in the books.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was crazy. Zach, isn't that what you're saying about how, about what King Viserys had said about dragons previously?
Yeah, you know, that they're a power and a force that, you know, Targaryens, you know, Valyrians think that they can handle and control, but really there is, you know, he rode Valyrian. And I mean, in my head canon, the older and more, I want to say persnickety, but that's not really the right word. Just moody that like Vhagar is, in my mind, the less controllable they would be. Like, then the older they get, the more of their, you know, they have their own will, and their will isn't easily, you know, swayed, you know, by a human rider. And you can come up with, you have all your High Valyrian commands, and if they feel like obeying you, they will. But, and when little Luke, rest in peace, Luke,
R.I.P.
pieces,
when he runs out to the courtyard, he runs out to the courtyard and the storm's howling and, you know, it storms in. So of course, and he looks over there for where Vhagar was parked before. Vhagar is not there.
Yeah, that was so sketchy.
He's freaked out. Obviously the storm has
Arrax is acting up.
Arrax freaked out. And he says, focus, you know, listen, serve, become Likiri, become. And we understand why he was given those commands, because we haven't gotten much of, I mean, Dany struggled with it some in the beginning of, you know, controlling Drogon, but here with Aemon and with Luke, they were both, you know, not really in control.
Yeah, not really in control at all. And that's what Viserys had said, that you can't really control a dragon, right? Something to that effect.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I don't have to find the exact quote, but and you know, he never tried to go find another dragon after Galerion died, and Otto showing up just like in episode 2. Rhaenyra showing up on Syrax, kind of in the same
landing place, in the same spot.
Kind of flying around. That was cool for them to kind of call back and mirror to what had happened there. And she walks, she lands behind the Greens to treat with Daemon in episode 2. And now she's with Daemon. She kind of comes from behind Otto and his goons and treats with Otto there for a few minutes. And Daemon wants none of it. And throughout the episode, she's trying to be, you know, as calm and measured. And like Rhaenys is telling Corlys that everybody else, all her advisors, all the lords, all the knights are pushing her to war. And obviously Daemon included, more so than anybody probably. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But she's the one that's showing restraint, you know, and resolve to try to find the best course of action, not just fly off the handle and burn them all.
Yet.
Right. Yeah. At the end of the episode, we get a different look from Rhaenyra.
Yeah, it's going to be chaos next season. And what, we're going to have to wait 2 years for it, probably?
Most likely, that's about I would think.
At the least.
Because I'm interested to see just this little set piece with Vhagar and Arrax, how long in the CGI process that it took. And filming the writers, you know, in the volume or whatever, however they're doing it with the wind and the rain and all that. Just doing that part, but then obviously the dragon piece of it, it's all CGI, how long that took, and the battles that are, you know, to come in the dance, it's going to be so much more of that. So mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see the behind the scenes stuff.
Exactly. It's going to be really cool. I mean, once they have all the primary photography done with the actors, how long the CGI teams probably have a CGI team for each dragon.
Yeah.
How long that's going to take in post-production. They may, like, I don't know. Because I don't think a CGI, all the Avengers movies are all CGI pretty much, but I don't know the detail they're trying to get with the dragons. I just don't know. Dragon fights and that sort of, I just don't know that's really been done to the quality and scale that they're going to have to do it for season 2 and beyond. So,
yeah.
Like, they may, I mean, I could see them having a date and having to push it back because of, like, they're not ready to start episodes 1, 2, and 3 may be done, but the time is taking to CGI and post-produce episode 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 is like, there's no way we can start it on whatever the date is, you know, May 1st, 2024.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's the date. I'm just making stuff up. But it's you know, it's going to be a long time, I think, before we get the show. But, you know, it's going to be good. When it comes out, you know, we know that it's going to be good. Season 1 was really good with not that much dragon stuff. So, you know, be patient. You know, this, toward the end of Game of Thrones, there were some pretty long waiting periods in between seasons. But, man, yeah, especially what's the deal season? With Vermithor?
Oh, yeah. What was up with that? Was he enjoying being sung to? Damon's just
didn't seem like he like roasted the ceiling or whatever they were at. Like, so he, I don't know, that was wild.
Vermithor, what was up with their eyes at the end of that whole sequence? Like, were they trying to imply like some sort of warging going on, or like
whose eyes?
Both Vermithor and Daemon, like their pupils both changed shape and kind of reflected one another.
Interesting.
Yeah, I just kind of took it as they were kind of having this kind of connection moment, not like dragon and rider connection, but like, I'm here, you know, I'm like, when you go walking through the woods in bear country, they say, make as much noise as you can. Like, he wasn't trying to sneak up on Vermithor.
Yeah, right.
And he's, I mean, he knew he, you know, Daemon seemed to know exactly where Vermithor would be. But I mean, I would think he is trying to set, and this part, I don't remember from the books, what happens, who gets Vermithor, if anybody gets him. I know there's stuff with wild dragons and rando people from, remember the town on Dragonstone? That's like the little Fisher town or the heart or the port. There's a name for it.
I don't remember.
But just random people from there saying, oh, I'm Jaehaerys, you know, great grandchild, you know, of that was illegitimate, and I'm going to try to claim Sea Smoke or Vermithor or somebody, and you know, some people didn't have much luck with that in the books, so there's going to be some of that, I think. But I think Daemon should and probably will try to set up his daughter, the younger one, Rhaena, with Vermithor. Well, that makes most sense to me, because Vermithor is the second largest dragon besides Vhagar. So that's the one that they're going to want to get a rider on the most.
Superstar 6626 in the YouTube chat says that he thinks Alicent will try to cover up what happened with Vhagar and Aemond and Arrax, because nobody knows exactly what happened at this point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, they went offline. There was a storm, you know, things happen.
Yeah, right? The storm. Right, Arrax just fell from the sky.
Yeah, only Aemon knows the truth. Yeah. If they were over land, obviously, like, where Vhagar kind of chomped, like, Lucerys's body could be completely obliterated.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Arrax's, you know, body was in a bunch of different pieces. Oh. And Lucerys could have been part of that falling debris. But they're over the water. No chance for anybody to know the truth of what happened.
Shipwreck Bay, man.
Right. If they fail,
dangerous to even go look.
Yeah, exactly. If they, Daemon got word somehow. So, you know, I don't know if they'll ever get into the details of how they found out the news about Lucerys dying, but
it could just be that they knew that he had left Storm's End, but then he just never arrived. So maybe somebody sent word from Storm's End that he had left, but then he never actually showed up to return. I don't know. I was wondering about that too. How does Daemon know?
Yeah, it's something we may kind of get a little bit more detail, but like we thought at the wedding feast when Kristen pummels
Joffrey.
Lonmouth.
Yep,
so, Lonmouth. We'll find out next episode how that happened and what Alicent did. And then it was a 6-year or 10-year time jump. It's like, no clue. Kristen Cole just got away with it. And
no clue.
Oh, well, on to the next thing. Yep. So, you know, that may be one of those things where we never get any detail, but we might. So there's we kind of got a little rundown and account from Daemon about there's wild dragon or two. They say two wild dragons that live at the Dragon Mount. Sea Smoke is still at Driftmark. Vermithor is unclaimed and named another one, I think. Silverwing.
Yeah, I couldn't remember.
Which I think was Alysanne's dragon, Queen Alysanne. So I think he counted 16 to the Greens 3. But obviously Vhagar is a big one.
Yeah, he's like 6 dragons.
Of those. We got a pretty epic scene of Daemon and Caraxes putting the Kingsguard to the question.
Just
putting them sharply to the question.
Yeah, sharply, indeed. That was pretty crazy.
I guess that was Stefan Darklyn and Eric Cargill wasn't there yet. It was Stefan Darklyn and Laurent something. I can't remember it. They said his name, but at the beginning I have to write it down.
Yeah, I wasn't sure who it was either. What a moment when you know, Rhaenyra's like, nothing will be done. This is not the moment that I was talking about. I was getting ahead of myself there for some reason. But Rhaenyra's like, nothing will be done until I give the command. And Jace goes in there thinking that he could boss around Daemon. And Daemon is just like, you know, he's like, send the ravens, do what I told you to do. The maester's kind of like, okay, you know, it'll be done. And that's when he takes him off to watch him learn of the loyalty of the two Kingsguard. And that made me nervous too, because I wasn't sure where these Kingsguard would fall once they learned that a new king has been crowned. You know, would they stay loyal to Rhaenyra or would they split and jump to Team Green?
I don't think they had much choice. At that moment, I don't think they had much choice.
Daemon made him an offer they couldn't refuse, you know, instead of a gun to the head, a dragon breathing fire down
offer,
your throat.
Offer, threat, one or the other.
At least they can control the dragons enough to not have them roast people in situations like that. It would have been funny if Caraxes comes over the top and he's like, do you two, you know, you'll have to bend the knee once more and swear loyalty to Rhaenyra. And the dragon just roasts him and Daemon's like, damn it. Obey! Obey, Caraxes, you ruined it.
Focus, Likiri.
Yeah.
There's typically how many Kingsguard? Seven?
I think seven. Mm-hmm. That's what I was thinking in my head, at least.
So, I mean, if there's the two currently on Dragonstone, then Eric shows up with the crown. How many came with Otto when he showed up?
There was at least three, I think.
So Kristen Cole and Arik had to have been there, right?
I don't know if I saw Kristen Cole. He may have stayed behind with the queen.
Yeah, I would think he probably would, but
Arik was there though.
If Harold Westerling is gone in the wing, I thought we would see him on Dragonstone this week, but we didn't. Then I saw somebody tweet this week that said one of the characters is the only one to appear in every episode. Because Rhaenyra and Daemon weren't in the episode last week. Alicent wasn't in the episode this week. Otto was, but Otto missed some episodes in the middle.
True, when he left.
Rhaenyra had gotten him fired. So if Kristen Cole showed up on that little causeway at Dragonstone, he would have been in every episode. But anyway. If Stefan Darklin and that other guy were there, and then Eric with an E, Cargill, showed up to be Team Black, and Otto brought three, that would have left Harold Westerling as the seventh.
Right.
So I have to go back and look for the Kingsguard on that little bridge.
Only have been two. Right.
So I think he had, maybe two Kingsguard knights and then a few just household knights.
That was tense,
to go
man.
With him.
And
they said said that his ship, when they said, a ship has been sighted with a green dragon. That's, I mean, unless Otto did that as his own little thing, but I'm pretty sure in the books, as the war goes on, Aegon's sigil is a gold or yellow dragon on a black field.
Yeah.
And Rhaenyra's symbology is like a split up with Aaron in one corner and two Targaryen emblems, the classic red dragons all black, and then another house. The seahorse from Valyrian.
Yeah, so, yeah. It must be Otto's his own little thing, since he's a representative of the Targaryens. So it's the Targ logo, but he's the Hightower, so it's green. I don't know. But the green is just like a Hightower color, though. It's specifically when they a wartime color for House Hightower, correct?
That's right. What they explained in the show, green flame.
Mm-hmm. So pretty interesting.
Pretty crazy. What a great moment when Eric showed up right as they were, they had lit the pyre for the poor baby and all the spirits were down. But then Eric shows up and he's like, I mean, you know, I'm brothers, you know, and the two Kingsguard that are already there sheathe their swords and he pulls out the crown from the satchel and it's like, oh man, it's Viserys's crown. And big, huge moment. And he just kneels and gives this whole spiel about, you know, he re-swears his oath to Rhaenyra whilst holding out the crown for her. A pretty powerful moment. It was interesting that the Kingsguard just took his word for it, though, and sheathed their blades and stepped aside so he could walk right up to Daemon.
There is real symbolism going on there. You got Aegon wearing the conqueror's crown, and you have Rhaenyra, who's, I think that crown was created for Jaehaerys, the first, who had the most peaceful reign ever since the conquering.
Yeah,
so you have Aegon wearing the crown of the conqueror, and you have Rhaenyra with the crown of Viserys the Peaceful, you know?
Yep.
So It's going to be interesting to see exactly where those battle lines are drawn and which houses end up swearing to what.
But yeah. Hopefully this stream is watchable. It might be buffering a lot. I don't know if we're going to, you know, for broadcasting very well. Oh, well.
Yeah, I can't really remember how successful Jace's trip to the Arryns and to the Starks are. It seems like one or both of them end up, you know, I think they all treat him, you know, they receive him, but I can't remember what exactly happens with them in the war. But I was interested. It was interesting that Daemon immediately wanted to go talk with Grover Tully of River Run. So, like, do y'all know that, like, there's Grover and an I think his son is Elmo. And
yes,
like
Oscar.
George just straight up did the Muppet or different
paper, Sesame Street
characters for the Tullys in this point of the Westeros history, which is pretty funny.
Hilarious.
I'm pretty sure he put Larry, Moe, and Curly in a house back in Game of Thrones. So
that sounds right. That's fucking great. It's interesting to see the exterior of Storm's End. It wasn't what I had pictured with a tall tower like that.
Alt-Shift-X was saying
it did seem pretty accurate. With I was just thinking of this one big, huge, more like the round, shorter, you know, squatty types of towers at Winterfell. But like just way bigger around than that, but still not all that tall because the raging storms of Storm's End. But that was cool to see the exterior of Storm's End. And just, I'm really excited to see Vermithor and like what's going to happen. Who's going to claim Vermithor, the other dragons.
He's the second largest dragon currently still alive, correct? Vermithor.
Yeah. So, although George said that the most danger, I can't remember if the question was dangerous or most formidable, but he was, you know, saying that Vhagar and Caraxes would be most, whatever the question was, they asked George in an interview. It was like dangerous or formidable dragons. He named those two.
Right, because Caraxes is seen battle. Go ahead, sir.
And we got some cool movements when Caraxes came out, when Daemon was questioning the two Kingsguard, and he kind of put his two front feet, you know, his wings down, and then his back feet kind of, he's so long, and it's like, you're kind of wondering how he's going to move. He kind of like, his back feet kind of hopped down, where he kind of got set in position before, and then we got this cool side shot of Daemon, and then Caraxes' head in the background, really cool. But,
definitely, yeah, that was a great shot. Caraxes. He's a pretty cool dragon, the Bloodworm, definitely. I can't wait to see more of Vermithor. Mm-hmm. He was Jaehaerys's the conciliator, the former kings, he was his dragon, correct?
Yep.
So he hasn't really seen too much battle and stuff, it seems, because that was a peaceful reign. I wonder how old he was, if he was hatched with Jaehaerys or if he was already alive prior to Jaehaerys' birth. Was he Maegor's dragon as well, or did Maegor ride Balerion?
I believe Maegor rode Balerion. I'd have to research, do a little research on that. But
Maegor rode Balerion. I just Googled
because
it.
Because he took, Maegor took Blackfyre. He took the crown. Basically, he took everything that Aegon II here, last episode, took. Mm-hmm. Except, Aegon doesn't have Balerion. Aegon II doesn't have Balerion because he's dead, but pretty crazy how Otto tries to play all that. It's like, we got the sword, we got the crown. You know, I don't think Otto mentions the knife or the Song of Ice and Fire dagger. Bro, that scene between, I heard some people complaining on Twitter about a choking scene, and I was like, okay, and I just scrolled past it. I'm like, I don't know who it is or what it is, but when it happened, I was like, oh, Daemon, bro, what are you, stop.
Daemon is so hardcore. That was crazy.
Vermithor only ever had one rider, and it was Jaehaerys.
Ooh, so maybe he was his egg that hatched when he was a little bebe. You know, the tradition of the house.
Vermithor was born between 30 and 35 AC after the conquering, and Jaehaerys took him at 48. So he was about 18 years old. Oh, wow. Just a wee dragon pup.
Yeah. Oh, man.
We're in the 130-ish time frame, I think, AC now. So
yeah,
Thor is basically, 100 years old, possibly.
Dang.
Vhagar is probably 150 or 200 years old, maybe.
Yeah, he's up there. He's close to Beleriand's age, I believe. Beleriand. Sorry, go ahead.
I wish that Rhaenys, the original Rhaenys, Aegon's sister wife, her dragon, she and the dragon were killed in Dorne. I wish her dragon had survived. I can't remember its name. Rhaenys and...
Oh, yeah.
Valerion, Vhagar.
It was Meraxes.
Meraxes, yeah.
There's Caraxes, Meraxes.
Caraxes. Yeah.
Daemon, Aemond, Vaemond, Rhaena, Bela. all these names are so brutal.
The silver lining in the war is that as people die, we won't have to remember their names anymore.
I don't want to see dragons die, though. And I mean, I know we're definitely going to see more dragons die. But
bro, little Arax, man. He was so tiny compared to Vhagar.
Yeah.
Man.
How about that shot it shows kind of from Vhagar's perspective behind and to the right as you see Arax flying along. And then Luke looks back and there's nothing there. And then it goes to a shot from underneath looking up over and Arax is flying. But then Vhagar is like, woof, woof, flying over him. And you can see him in the lightning just for a second before he disappears into the clouds again. Man, that was crazy.
Can you imagine how scary that would be?
In the middle of a storm on a tiny little dragon with a huge Vhagar flying around. Yeah, not much fun. And then we heard him before we saw him again. Remember, they did it the same way during the flight, the aerobatics scene with Daemon and with Lena.
Mm-hmm.
Is that right? Yeah, Lena, before she got roasted. Daemon's flying on Caraxes and then you hear a grumbling and then it cuts to Vhagar who flies by. So they did kind of the same thing here where you heard him growl with his deep grumbling, nice voice before we actually saw him. And,
all right, guys, I'm going to have to run and, getting late for me. And
sounds
I was
good.
Glad I could hop on and talk with y'all, but y'all feel free, obviously, to go on and have a big time. I'll watch or listen later and we'll get the regular episode of the podcast out and get it recorded and very interested to watch it again and break everything down for y'all.
Yeah. And next weekend we're going to go live as well and talk about just like a wrap up episode where we discuss the whole season. Matthew, you're welcome to join us for that as well. If you want, we're going to have Archmaester Stitches joining us too. So that should be a good time. Get everybody's views on the season as a whole and everything like that. But yeah. All right, buddy. Thanks for joining us and glad you could make it. Hope you have a nice rest of your evening and we'll talk to you tomorrow and get the regular old episode recorded.
Awesome. Y'all take it easy.
All right. Later, Zach.
See ya.
Yeah, man. So what else is there that happened in this episode that we haven't talked about yet? I'm trying to draw a blank. I wasn't taking notes or anything. So,
well, the news reached Dragonstone. Rhaenyra had her miscarriage. Daemon questioned the King's Guard.
Miscarriage scene was so hardcore.
Yeah, it was tough. They did not. They do not portray pregnancy in very, I don't know.
Safely.
What you call. Not very serenely. Good light in the back in Westeros days,
Mm-hmm.
I think it had to have been maybe 1 month, maybe 2 months premature.
Yeah, it seemed somebody said it was earlier than it should be. And it seems like having heard the news of the usurpation in King's Landing, it seems to have triggered the miscarriage. And she was so focused on everything that was happening. Luke and Jace show up and she's trying to give birth, but she's listing off all of the things that have happened, and she's, you know, Viserys is dead. There's the usurpation has taken place in King's Landing. Aegon's been crowned king, and Jason, Luke were just kind of watching, like, oh my god, this is horrible. What is going on here? Oh man, the part with the sapphire in the eye was so cool. I really liked that. That was so awesome. Jace or Luke was terrified.
Just he almost looks like a Bond villain, you know?
Yeah, definitely, definitely. He looks like a madman. And then, you know, he's so aggressive in that scene. He's demanding that Luke cut out one of his own eyes, tosses him the dagger. Reminded me of the scene in The Dark Knight where the Joker's like, we're going to have tryouts. And he snaps the pool cue and tosses it to the two guys. And Boros was just not having it. Not having it.
No.
And Luke just looked nervous to see Aemon there at all. Just his presence put him on edge and screwed everything up.
Did we see Allison send him to Storm's End last episode? She did mention that someone has to go ensure Storm End's
loyalty.
Yeah,
there was talk of Storm's End, but I don't think we actually saw anything come of that as to who was being sent or anything. So that was kind of a surprise. He gets there and Big Bad Aemond is there. And every time that he's seen Aemond, he's looked scared for the past couple episodes. So,
I haven't had the best history.
Yeah, definitely foreshadowing this crazy conflict. I really liked how the scene with Rhaenyra on the bridge landing with Syrax totally paralleled the scene from earlier on in this series when when Daemon had stole the dragon's egg and she landed behind Otto just like she did this time and walked right through the group. What a power move. This time, they're against her straight up. Last time, it was Daemon who was against her, and she walked through her own ranks to go face off with Daemon. This time, she walked through enemy ranks of the Greens, and none of them would dare touch her because Syrax was still there. Big power move. That was really cool.
I love how she rips off the hand of the king.
Oh, yeah.
The pin, and just tosses it.
You're no more hand than he is king, and tosses it. So that's two times we've seen the pin removed from Otto in the series. Oh man, that was crazy. Otto must have been, you know, nervous. I was just like, roast him, you know. He was like, where's the princess, you know? And just saying that alone was a dig, because not calling her the queen. Yeah, then she comes flying around on top of Syrax. That was really cool.
Him going there, expecting her to, you know, bend the knee,
and
her just swooping in, wearing her father's crown, which Otto probably assumed was burned up in the funeral pyre. Just that would have answered his question right there.
Yeah, that's true. They must have been like, where's the crown? Where's the crown? Man, that was so cool. I love that when just the display of honor from Eric showing up and, oh man, Screen Crush, Ryan Airy. You ever watch Screen Crush?
No.
Oh man, check it out. Really good videos. Very highly produced, informative videos regarding Game of Thrones, House of the Dragon, all the Star Wars shows and stuff like that. He breaks down all the Easter eggs and hints to other things. There was like 131 Easter eggs for the last episode of House of the Dragon.
Wow.
Hot D. But yeah, he's cool. He does his podcast with his dog, you know, so like it'll cut to the dog and he does like a voice where the dog says something. And, you know, like he was like, oh, they don't have a dog in this fight. And the dog's like, what did you say? He was like, oh, no offense. Stuff like that. But he got it wrong. He thought it was Eric that left Aegon's service to go join Rhaenyra. But it was Eric with an E, which we learned definitively in this episode. And his brother Eric was actually there at the bridge, you know, during that standoff scene right behind Otto. So it actually showed the two brothers on opposite sides in that scene, which was really cool to see.
So in this episode, we had an Eric and an Eric and an Eric's.
Yeah, so brutal. These names, man, these names are off the chain. Yeah, a little more variety with Tolkien's names, I will admit. I'm only comparing the two because George R. R. Martin has based so much stuff off of J.R.R. Tolkien, you know, even his own name, J.R.R. Tolkien, George R.R. Martin, yeah. You know, like the concept of the long night is the darkness that's coming over Middle Earth from Mordor. Winter's coming, darkness is coming, so many different things. Skin changers, another concept from Lord of the Rings that ended up in wargs, although the wargs are different, but they use the same wolf talking term. Talking wolves in Lord of the Rings, but people who can like see through wolves' eyes and skin change into wolves in this in Game of Thrones, House of or the Dragon, A Song of Ice and Fire. I've been rewatching Lord of the Rings lately and just watched a couple of the Hobbit movies for the first time, so I'm noticing all these similarities, which is kind of why it's on my mind at the moment. What else have we not talked about from this episode? Anything?
I'd have to go back and rewatch the whole thing.
They lit the thing and it started glowing gold between all the cracks and all the writing and stuff. What was that? I didn't really see exactly how that happened.
They had these like braziers full of coal and they like slid them under the table.
Oh, okay. And
I don't know what kind of wood that is, not to just go up in flames, you know?
Yeah, that was really cool. I liked that a lot. All the lettering and everything starts glowing gold. And we got some close-ups of the map table that we hadn't really seen before. We got to see how everything was carved in and labeled, like Driftmark, which Lucerys was kind of rubbing his hand on. And I liked how that it showed them going to the boxes and opening the boxes, and we saw all of the pieces that are going to be used to plan the war on the map table. I wonder who ends up moving the map table to that upper room where it was when Stannis occupies Dragonstone.
I don't know. Probably get some of the servants to move it, you know?
Yeah, at some point. Oh, man. Pretty crazy episode. Pretty crazy episode overall. Anything else you want to add before we start to wrap this thing up?
No, I think that's good for now. We covered all the big things.
For sure.
And a second watch will just fill in all the gaps, I think.
Yeah, I think so. I'm looking forward to second watch, pausing and analyzing and rewinding. And what I do when I'm preparing the podcast is I download a transcript. And so I'm sitting there and looking at the lines and I sort of add my own commentary in between the lines on the transcript. And then that's what I go off of when we do the show. So it will be interesting to just take a closer look at this episode and break things down a little bit more. So we have a fully prepared podcast. And yeah, you think you'll be free next weekend to do a season wrap up show with us?
That's possible. Yeah. Given the whatever time it ends up being.
Yeah, we're thinking about going live at like 8 or 9, you know, so around the same time that the show usually airs or would be airing.
Yeah, I'll let you know.
Sounds good. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. It's been great having you.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Yeah, we'll definitely look forward to having you back as soon as possible. Thanks to anybody out there who's tuned in to this haphazard broadcast that hopefully some of it got out there without buffering too much. I recorded most of it in my DAW over here, so I'm going to put together as much as I can and make an episode to release in podcast form. I'll get that out by the morning. And until next time, thanks for tuning in to Game of Microphones, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks again, Matthew, for joining us. Sir Matthew of House Rep. And great having you.
All right. Thanks, man.
You are very welcome. All right. We'll see you guys soon.
Bye.
See ya.